And good morning to everybody. Welcome to you that are joining us by video or podcast. I'm here in another edition of the JAU Sunday morning Zoom group. I have the Bettendorfs. I have Arnold Quigley from Southern California, David Fulton, Spokane, and the Foondocks from Happy Valley. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Yeah. You know that we have been doing this now for almost 3 years. In May, really? We'll have completed 3 years of Sunday morning.
Wow.
Sunday morning Zoom. We started Zoom as really an answer to COVID.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to get together. And along comes the technology of Zoom and answered the problem of lockdown. And we've been doing this ever since.
Well, in all honesty, it is a bit of a long drive every Sunday for me.
You're right.
not quite as long as Arnold, but you know.
Yeah, Arnold would be the longest.
Yeah. Golly, I remember back, I was recuperating from my third surgery. And I folded in with this call and been with you guys since.
Yeah. Wow.
Over to Las Cruces, New Mexico.
And you were in Las Cruces then, right?
Yeah.
How time goes, but it's amazing as I've been thinking about 3 years. What have we been talking about for all that long?
And
you keep coming back for more. What's with this?
We like your talk, Dennis. We like your talk.
I should feel so honored, I guess. I don't know.
I just get mostly guilt.
Mostly guilt.
I'd feel guilty if I didn't come on every Sunday morning.
Well, that's a carryover in the day.
That's right.
And we get shamed if we don't.
Yeah. We have to go to confession if we don't.
Okay. Yeah. You guys, you're making me feel better all along. But when you think about it, 3 years and you guys have been hanging in, and there have been some others off and on that have been with us. It amazes me that you can retain that much of interest that long and continue the conversation.
In all honesty, Dennis, for me, as I have shared, I suppose, multiple times, I never quit questioning Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose for that is to continue to grow.
Right.
Because one cannot, in my opinion, one cannot grow if they're not asking questions and seeking answers.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have learned and what we have discussed and everything over these last 3 years has really changed how I perceive people, how I talk to them, what I can share that hopefully will be encouraging, okay, in better ways than before we started this conversation.
Yeah.
Because before this conversation, there was, as all of us have mentioned this morning, conversations about Christianity always had elements of guilt and shame and confession. Whereas now I can share Christianity without any of that.
Sure. Yeah. I agree, Dave. It's certainly for me, it's a lot more interesting than in dealing with a bunch of people who feel like, well, we have to be here. So now tell us something interesting. So, you know, it's a different attitude, and it's enjoyable. As you say, people are curious, they're hungry. You guys are, and as I am, I'm here to question with you. I didn't feel that so much in the regular institutional environments. People showed up, like you said, because they felt, well, if we don't, somebody's going to give us a call and we're going to get a few guilty, you know, and so we're here now. Now tell us something good, because we've made the effort. that's how you felt. People oftentimes would come into you'd greet them coming into a classroom or coming in, even into the main worship body, and pickle faced and yeah, my wife told me I had to come. This kind of stuff.
Well, Dennis, Joan and I, we feel more at peace with where we're at, what we're doing, our life. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of comparing what used to be and what is now Jesus, mm-hmm, in us, mm-hmm, he and, mm-hmm, he in us.
Yeah,
it just gives you a peace that, mm-hmm, we haven't experienced before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yesterday, Scott and I had opportunity to have a chat and record another podcast, and I'll link it to you for you guys. It was a good conversation, and it was really about this in talking about his life personally and in comparison to where we were prior to the revelation, always seeking, always not sure, always wanting something from God. And we were talking about revivals, as you know, Jesus' revolution and other revivals. And what's the difference? Why aren't we so hungry for revival? We don't seem to be so interested in that. And it's because we're a different place. Mm-hmm. We have a different perspective now. It's not so much we're looking for God to do something, as now we feel like God is with us, using us for something. It's a different, mm-hmm, I don't know if you guys see this, we're not looking for God to do something. We're looking for God to do something through us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not to the throne, it's from the throne. And what a different place, a different perspective.
Yeah.
And it's not that we have to work at it.
No, I mean
that, or comply to rules.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I grew up in a pretty strict Christian church environment, and there were rules. So you had to go to, obviously, church, mm-hmm, and some Bible study and Youth for Christ, and then off, and you had to conform to certain regulations, you know, like you couldn't do certain like Dennis dances, or
yeah,
you know, you wouldn't want to get too close to women, you know, you're at least as far as your parents knew, you know. but that went on to you know, should I go to church out of college, and then got married and get into a church, and then should we attend regularly, and should we get more involved, and of course always want to get more involved, mm-hmm, and then should we give a certain portion of our pre-tax money to the, yeah, church every,
yeah,
month,
yeah,
out of that's the first check that should be written,
mm-hmm, but
always that thing of, well, if you'll do it, you'll plant the seed, and then something reward will somehow come back. And
yeah,
it did, probably did. I don't know, but mm-hmm, we weren't harmed by it. But all the way through, it's been, yeah, somehow we made it through. but you know, we've all the way to the present of just not having to feel like I've got to do something. I've, mm-hmm, said, it really, I am in God's hands. I am, mm-hmm, and I'm a representative of Him. But He's taken care of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we turn on the television, we see the news, and start grumbling inside our house about something isn't going right in China, or it's not going right with a political thing, or whatever it might be. But you can sit back and say, well, I don't really have anything to do with that. I don't have to do anything. Yeah, I can be at peace. I can be at peace with it.
Yeah.
And that's what Jerry would say. You know, just it is a different peaceful life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't see it quite as much as David does in terms of being having to express it or show it to people. That comes in, I think, in time and with the opportunity with people. I certainly am more at peace with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. It's not trying to be as judgmental or concerned.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that keeps me hanging around here.
and yet, Arnold, have you felt like you've arrived?
No, not at all.
Yeah,
it's
curious, isn't it? You don't ever feel like, okay, this is it. I can, you know, I got all there is. No.
No, and, you know, with this, reading further in this EB material, mm-hmm. some mm-hmm. of us are looking at, mm-hmm. I've sort of realized that God has really commanded that all people will be drawn to him. He'll have his whole creation brought back to him.
Mm-hmm.
The Adam yeah. model, but in the Tree of Life model.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it takes away that I have to go out and try to change somebody. You know, that.
Yeah. It really is more of an exciting adventure now. I said a moment ago, the whole perspective has shifted because heretofore we were trying to. We were moving to God. We were going to church in an effort to be closer to God. We were learning how to pray, read our Bibles in an effort to hear him and feel like we've connected with him. That's really how we were raised in that environment. And we never could feel like we've arrived at all. But this catching this discovering revelation of Christ in us now. No, I don't have to keep pursuing. I'm just aware of God's presence always and how he is maybe going to use me or maybe express himself through me. I'm partnering with him now. I'm not in this hunt for God. I'm in this glorious expectancy of working and sharing and living his life with him through me.
Yeah.
And I read something this morning. As you read the book of Revelation, everything is looking, you know, we're taught to look to the throne of God. And all everybody's around the throne and exalting the throne. Well, do you realize that we're in the throne? We are in the throne. And we're looking out from the throne through the eyes of God. We don't pray to God. We pray with God. I mean, it's wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I have so much more confidence having Jesus in me
mm-hmm.
and knowing that he will tell me whether I should go suggest this to that person or right. whether I should not. I just mm-hmm. feel totally confident that mm-hmm. I don't have to make those decisions myself because he will.
Yeah. And you'll know it.
Yeah.
You'll know it. I was afraid that I wouldn't do what God told me to do.
Oh, yeah.
And most of us were that way. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. If I don't go witness, then I've made God mad and he maybe never will give me another opportunity. Now I'm saying, no, Father, you'll show me. I'll see what you're doing and I'll recognize it and I'll gladly join it. And if I don't, he's not mad.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's not mad at us at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, think the relief that has been.
Oh,
you know, that he's not judging. Yeah, I mean, he's nudging us all the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to your podcast you did with Scotty, and you know, it's the issue of sin is a whole different issue in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's swirling around us, all around us.
Right.
And, you know, we still have our flesh, but it's a relief from sin.
Mm-hmm. That part is all gone. That part is taken care of. And we're not wrestling with that anymore.
You made the statement, Dennis, it's almost harder to deliberately sin. I think that's true for all of us.
You know,
that if we think back on our lives,
when you think about it, it's really is harder for you and I to sin anymore. We have to make a conscious effort out of it.
Well, I don't know. I don't seem to have any trouble with it.
but of course.
I'm a parent.
Okay, is there something you want to tell us, David?
Coming out of St. Patrick's Day? Of course. Hey, you know what's Lent? Come on. It's time for you to buck up, boy.
Yeah. It's easier to be... I'm going to use the word righteous. I don't know what other term. Good, I guess. It's easier to do that. Now, before you knew Christ, it was easier to sin and harder to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it's just the opposite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that in itself should tell you something has changed. Whoever's in operation of our lives we're following a different master. And this is how it operates.
We're actually living in a different master.
And yes.
It isn't my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That was hard for me to give up. Say, oh, I don't, come on, I can't give up me.
Yeah.
You know? But it's no.
Well, Dennis, you know, from day one, like a baby is born, right? So that baby, from day one.
I got to advertise. Nike. Okay, go on with the baby born.
They're striving for independence, right? So
yeah,
all of us have been on a direction of independence. You know, we wanted to be independent. So then you come a time in your life like we're talking about now where, okay, we're totally dependent.
Mm-hmm. Right?
We go from independent to totally 100%. Jesus in us.
Yes.
We're in him. So that's total dependence. So that, you know, it's a pretty big psychological jump, don't you think?
It really is. That's a great insight, Jerry. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, where we thought we wanted our own independence, we realize dependence is better. Wow, I like being dependent. I don't crave to have my own self and my own independence anymore. This living with God and living in him is much more fulfilling.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's much more the life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to share something even this morning. It's amazing every day I'm winding up with new, just a radically different insight. And largely because of reading the concordant literal New Testament, right? And because I'm just finding so many things that have changed in my previous understanding of scripture. And I've read Romans countless times and had to pass a seminary course in Romans and outline the whole book, but it's like I'm reading it all fresh again. And so Romans 12:1, I'm entreating you then, brothers, by the pities of God. Now, my old perspective was, and the old language was, by the mercies of God. But mercies, the persuasion there, the bias, the prejudice was, God was an angry God. I grew up with an angry, hard God, and you did too. You were afraid of him. You went to church because of your fear of God. If you didn't, what was going to happen? You gave money, fear that you'd lose everything else. And that was how we understood God. But to read this and say, the pities of God? Is God pitiful? And go to Luke 6:36, and it says the same thing. Your God is pitiful. You should be pitiful. Now, our understanding of pitiful in the common language today is meager, inadequate. But that's not the definition at all, see? That's the kind of understanding we had in our old perspective. But now we're looking at God. God, you are so full of compassion and mercy. This is who you really are. As I wrote in my book, and we've been talking about this, I have a whole new God, a whole different God than the one I grew up with. Mm. And because I see him differently, I see him so merciful, so passionate, so drawing, so loving. My old understanding, if I read that verse, is, well, God decided to be merciful. So I better give him, present my body out of fear, you know, take advantage of this brief time that he's merciful to me. So, but it was out of fear that I read that verse. Okay, I gotta sacrifice myself to God because he's decided to be merciful, but that's, you know, he's regretting it. So do you have a new God?
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm looking at a verse by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's what we've been up to. And not because we are forced to do it. We want to do it.
There it is. Yeah. That's why I want to present my body. Not because he's challenging me or I have a fear. It's because he is, I can trust him. He's so loving, and his love just causes me to respond to him in this willing way.
Yeah, not to dump water on all this. but, you know, it's easy for us to sit here and claim this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Don and I watched a movie the other night called Forsaken.
Ah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Kiefer Sutherland and his father, Donald Sutherland, actually play father and son in this movie. Western movie. Donald Sutherland is a pastor, a preacher in this small Western town.
Yeah.
And Kiefer went off to the Civil War.
Okay.
And they expected him to come home after the Civil War, but he didn't. He wandered for 10 years or so. Okay, now here's my point. Kiefer Sutherland makes just an incredible statement. He's angry at God. He doesn't believe there is a God. And at one point, he tells his dad this. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Battle of Shiloh. Battle of Shiloh was just an absolutely horrific battle. In the Smithsonian Institute, in the Civil War section, there is a tree stump. This tree stump is so big, you couldn't even get your arms around it. The reason it's in the Smithsonian Institute is because it was shot down by musket fire at the Battle of Shiloh. I mean, this thing is huge. A good 3-4 feet in diameter, shot down by musket fire at the Battle of Shiloh. Okay, Kiefer Sutherland was at the Battle of Shiloh, and he's telling his father, there is no God. There were men lying on the battlefield, screaming out to God, and he did not answer. So how can you tell me there's a God? Okay, now, there's a lot of people out there who have suffered horrendous things who are going to have that same opinion. And I don't expect any answers here. There's no way we can answer the question, how would we talk to them? Okay. And that is something that Joni pointed out earlier. God's going to have to tell us. And we're going to have to be very, very receptive to that. This whole conversation about Christ in me, as we try to really get a hold of that, hopefully that is preparing us for those types of questions. Okay, but these conversations on Sunday are pretty easy because we're all on the same page. But what happens when we really encounter somebody who is truly angry at God?
It's
going to get interesting.
So, David, I don't want to dump hot water on your comment.
it's only fair.
There's a lot of water thrown around here.
But you know what? That kind of stuff is swirling around in Ukraine right now. It's swirling around in Africa. It's swirling around in the United States with people taking fentanyl. You know what? I don't have to handle that. And God will take care of it in the long run. We see it in this little age we're in. God is much bigger than, oops, I just knocked the curtain over.
Excited.
And I don't mean to demean what you just said. Yes, it's a serious thing, but I don't have to make it serious.
I understand what you're saying, Arnold.
Yeah.
But I guess the gist of my question is, if we encounter it, how are you going to handle it? You know, you can't. Maybe you do nothing. Go ahead.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say Arnold has handled it? Arnold, you've been through this firestorm. You've handled it, right?
You
know, God will take care of it at that moment, David. Didn't he someplace he said, you know, to his disciples, you're going to go out and you're going to testify and stuff like that. And he says, don't worry about it, man. I'll give you the words at that time.
Yeah. Hey, Beth. Beth.
I kind of very much agree with David in that when someone is very angry at God and just questioning and, you know, just leave them alone, because they're in actually a very, very good place, in my opinion, just by my experience. The fact that they are pushing back and they have strong emotions is actually a good sign. And I think that that is when I think that they shine like a beacon up into the heavens and or the universe, or however you want to word it. And they will be pursued in a good way just by the nature of God. And when you're not looking, you're not going to find anything. And so when you're very angry, you things come along that can really change your mind. And in my opinion, they kind of might even be more open to something. I don't know.
You know, Bill, I'll give an example of that. At Christmas time, we had two people in the, we live in a fourplex, basically, a condo type thing. And there's two of the neighbors, two women upstairs in the upstairs units that just hate each other. They appear to hate each other. The dog's barking too much and I don't like it. She leaves her door open and she listens to Fox and the other one listens to MSNBC. And it just it was awful. And I stepped into the middle of it and I was led to do that. It resulted in all of us getting together at one of the homes for Christmas dinner. You know, they including the two neighbors that couldn't see eye to eye. So sometimes you're led to, into an angry situation and he shows you exactly what to do.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of see that as different. That's kind of like playing mediator or referee or whatever.
But, could be. I'm not trying to take any kind of glory on myself for it. Yeah. It was, in a way, it was kind of stupid to step into the middle of it.
You know, I think everybody here said the same thing in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Are we listening to God?
Yeah.
And are we following the direction he has given us?
Because
Beth is right. In some cases, he'll tell us, keep your mouth shut, don't do anything. In other cases, like Arnold, he's going to say, jump into it. I got it handled. Going to work through you. Okay. What it all really comes down to, and I think the whole gist of bringing this up was that as we talk more and more about Christ in us, one of the most valuable things about Christ being in us is, like all of us here have said today, he's going to give us the words to share, he's going to tell us keep our mouth shut. And what it comes down to is, are we going to listen? Because just because we are discovering Christ in us doesn't mean we're not going to screw up.
When I wonder what to do, or in cases like you've just talked about, how do you handle it? How do you pose yourself? I usually look for some kind of illustration in the life of Jesus. And when he was physically here, all right, prior to his being in us, he lived in his own body. What did he do? Do you think he came up against angry people? Did he have situations or places where he tried to fix things, or he tried to appease some people's questioning or anger? But how did he act? I can see scenarios in the narrative, the gospel narratives, where he just didn't do anything. He just walked away sometimes. It wasn't time.
Yeah.
There were people who were thrown at him to, if your God can heal. And he walked away. No. And I find that intriguing. Here's someone who's learning. He was learning what it meant to be God incarnate. He was an example. He was breaking the ground for all of us. He was the pioneer in showing the world who God was, who God is. And people are. He was up against people who had these prejudices against God, angry, because they were oppressed people. They were broken down, trodden. And you can imagine, probably there were many conversations not even recorded in which he probably just didn't jump in and try to defend God.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm speculating too much here. What do you think?
Well, you know, the Bible says that, or He says at one point, doesn't he, the poor will always be among you?
Yeah.
And at the Last Supper, which is, you know, he knew his death was imminent. It was his last time with all of his disciples together. What message did he give them? It wasn't go and, you know, save every soul, spread this far and wide. He didn't say anything like that. Mm-hmm. He said, love your neighbor. And we, as, you know, people, we just, it's like we want to solve every problem. Like, let's solve mm-hmm. world hunger, like blah, blah, blah. And then let's missionaries, let's just put, you know, someone in every country and everyone must hear and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, but he recognized his focus. We get like mired down in the numbers in that game, that whole game. And not like, you know, we think that that's what the Bible intended when it wasn't at all. And he just would keep moving. And he knew some people will never get it, and that's okay. And he just keeps going. But we're just like, you know, we want to hammer people, you know, like you.
Well, but yet in the situation I described at Christmas time, Jesus also stepped into the middle of it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with he did. A love and compassion. What led me to, I think, get into the middle of the thing between these two women was, it just was tragic what was going on. And both of them confessed to be Christian.
Yeah,
right. It saddened my heart. Mm-hmm. And it gave me the opportunity to go and spend time with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally go into their home and sit down and talk to them, that I wouldn't have done. It wasn't me that did that. Yeah, and Jesus said, I don't do anything, but I see the Father do, per se.
Right.
You know, anything.
Yeah.
I think more we're living our life that way. I am.
And see, what that's the perspective I'm talking about, guys. The old perspective is we had to do all this for God. God requires us to get in there and face the opposition and try to get people to repent and go to the, as Beth says, go to the uttermost parts of the world, because it's all up to us. No, the new perspective is, no, God, you don't need me. You want to use me, but I'm not here as your answer. I'm following you.
Boy, that's so good, Dennis. That's so good.
I just do what you do. I'm with you, God. So I'm not here to promote you or to defend you. Man, you know how much time I felt as a pastor that I had to defend God? Again, just as you're saying, David, to angry, hurting people and trying to come up with answers that would placate the anger and the hurt and the woundedness by people who felt like God had abandoned them. Do you like that position? I didn't.
No. Not a fun position to deal with.
Right. Yeah.
Like Beth said, when you find yourself in that situation, it may be an opportunity, really, because they may have ears to hear something different at that point.
Yes, I agree with you there. Yeah.
The need is raw.
Yeah.
In their heart.
Pain is a great, it's a great, how should I say, a conduit for grace. And that may sound ridiculous, but you think about it. It's through pain where we discover it. C.S. Lewis used to say, pain is the way to joy.
And that's the situation I found myself in Las Cruces 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, full of pain and uncertainty, and my sister and our son had to fly over because I wasn't going to make it through the night.
Right.
And then the long recovery in the midst of COVID. And I'm not, it just, sometimes I know God entered into me deliberately during that phase of my life to help me open my eyes. Mm. And maybe the case in the situation Beth is describing,
mm-hmm.
or David, you're talking about it being, you know, people that are hurting and needing God. And here we are at that point.
Like Beth was pointing out, you know, these angry people crying out. A doctor once told me you cannot have healing without pain. So quite often, as several of you have mentioned today, that pain is leading us to something greater.
Yeah. And I've come to see God in the pain now. It used to be pain would be dealing with the absence of God, or that's why how we defined it. And it was my job to try to help people get through the pain and discover God.
And personally, I used to not want to hear that you have no pain, no gain. Hell, I don't want to go into pain, you know.
God, I've seen enough of you.
If that's what it's
when you were paraplegic, and you know, I don't know when you became a Christian, but you must have pondered some stuff when you were in the bed there.
The wonderful thing about being a quadriplegic is you don't have any pain. You can't feel anything. It is a bit of a drag to realize you may never walk again or be able to feed yourself. But yeah, that causes some downtime.
Do you ever have a chaplain or somebody try to preach at you about God in those days, Dave? I remember.
No, the closest thing to that was my dad telling me that, don't admit to the lie. This is a lie. Leave the hospital, you know. Some practitioner that he sent telling me that I was still a quadriplegic because I was admitting to the lie. Never had any sort of pastor or anything. Quite honestly, the only reason the practitioner was there is I was letting my dad feel better about himself because I didn't really want the guy there. You know, I was still in the midst of that 30-year run from God. And to answer your question, Arnold, the accident happened January 2nd, 1995, at 6:30 in the morning, not that I remember. I did not become a Christian till is 99 or 2000. And it wasn't till after I had left the hospital trying to get back into my life. And what led me to Christianity, quite honestly, was God had set me up in a roommate situation with a guy by the name of Dan Blackstone, who Dennis knows. I had met him through my wife early on in our first marriage. And he had been running from God. But at the time of my accident, or a few years before, he had gone back and started, you know, he was attending New Hope. He had decided that he needed to get back in touch with God because his life was crap. But I remember sitting in the apartment one day, and I asked myself, what is wrong with me that I'm divorced twice and my life is just crap? That opened the door for discussions with Dan. He started sharing Jesus Christ with me. We would have Saturday morning was laundry morning, so we would sit and drink coffee and share our concepts of God while the laundry was getting done. But that really was kind of the start of it. Stu Weber in his book, Tender Warrior, talks about wake-up calls. And the accident, or actually my wife divorcing me, was a final wake-up call that sent me searching for answers that ultimately led me to Christ. But it was a long journey. I mean, it was, but it was a good journey. I mean, I wouldn't change any of it.
Wow.
And then Tom and Marianne Willey, who I'll be seeing this weekend, they were the couple that Ray Cotton set me up with to do the study of Luke, and Tom and Marianne were the ones who ultimately, through the teaching of the book of Luke, led me to Christ. So.
It, your story then still, it, I mean, it again leads me to see how God mercifully works in our lives. Drawing us along, loving us, not lording or forcing or coercing at all, but lovingly breaking down the boundaries and the barriers and helping us see who he really is. Coming to the one that resembles him in the flesh and is just still living in us as our flesh, as Christ. It's a tremendous journey. It's a great story in each of our lives. How that happens. And here we are still talking about it.
You know, I think for me, the most important thing was that question I asked myself, what's wrong with me? It wasn't playing the victim. It was realizing something in me needed to change. Don, during our first marriage, had said to me often, you need to change. Well, what the hell does that mean? How am I supposed to do it? Okay. I had no way of knowing how to change. And even when I asked that question, I had no idea. And it wasn't until I started discovering who Jesus Christ was that I started learning how to change and why I needed to change. But without Jesus Christ, how to change and why to change are questions that I don't think anybody can answer.
Right. Are we capable of changing? That's the whole issue. And if we don't have Jesus, we don't have any way to physically or mentally or emotionally change ourselves.
I think, and I have probably shared this before, Dan's mother gave me a men's devotional Bible. She knew I wasn't a Christian, and I wasn't about to read the Bible. I had no interest in reading it, but I started reading the devotionals. And just so you know, God does have a sense of humor. God knew that Tom Landry, who at the time was coaching the Dallas Cowboys, was one of my least favorite people. I hated Tom Landry. I hated the Cowboys. Okay. But Tom Landry was a devout Christian, and he wrote a devotional in this Bible about character building. And I had not noticed that he was the one who wrote it till after I read it. But at the end of it, he says, the truth remains, most of our character is established in early life. Adversity can help build it. Coaches can help mold it. But in our adult years, the only thing I have seen that can radically change a person's basic character is a relationship with Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Okay, and I read that, and then I really hated Tom Landry. But that was part of the steps to healing. Did I finally, okay, it was raising a question. How is this dead guy going to change my character?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I was still stuck on, you know, this is a little bit before I realized that Jesus was a dead guy and I didn't know how to have a relationship with him. But that devotional right there was part of what got me started on the journey seeking how to change.
Mm-hmm. 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 And aren't those stories, those, you know, as we, those experiences, aren't those the things, the very things that become, as it were, the toolbox on how we relate to others? God gives us those experiences. I'm going to say gives us. I find so much in scripture where his intentions all through it and for good, but he gives those to us unique experiences for the very reason of being able to relate and to understand and have heart with someone else. Have you found yourself that way? And again, this is, now I'm looking from the other side and thinking, boy, all of those experiences I had of trying to be the best at what I was supposed to do and realizing how I was failing and needed God and all of that. Now I can use those experiences to relate to people, especially young people who are thinking about that same career and yet are not certain they've really had a good knowledge of God or relationship with God. This is what I'm talking about, from the throne.
Yeah, see, the only thing I would change in that devotional by Tom Landry is that now I understand it's not the relationship, that my character, while it's still in process, will better be changed by understanding that it's Christ living in me.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is not to say that our character is now perfect.
I'm reminded of that almost every day by my wife. So. like I said earlier, the sin has no problem with me. I still do it quite well. So.
See, we've got to get over that. That was the old perspective. You're not good enough.
Now our perspective is... I didn't say I wasn't good enough. I just said I don't have any trouble with sin.
Now, I don't care. That's not meaning I go frivolous with my life, but I'm not so hung up with how I appear perfect or have all the answers. Or no, Christ is in me. He's doing the speaking. He's using my imperfection, whatever. He's speaking through my heart, right? It's a whole different perspective and a way that we see ourselves, not trying to find God, but now God, wow, you're everywhere, every place. Just, I can count on you using me. I can count on you showing up and doing stuff, and I get to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. I trust all of you are feeling the same.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's fun. It's a fun time. It's not a worrisome time.
Yeah, your anxiousness is gone. You know, we're not anxious anymore.
No. God, I trust you. Yeah, I was the person in focus. Now I'm not in focus. It's God's in focus now. It's his world. Yeah. Out of him, through him, and for him are all things. Romans 11:36. That's powerful.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Amen. God all in all. Hey, guys, it's been a great time to be with you again.
Thank you, Dennis.
I like it.
And we say to those listening and watching, if you have questions and comments, find the comment page on the respective video or podcast page and leave us a note or write us at knowingjesus22@outlook.com. So next week,
we get to be in person.
Yay!
Yeah, all right.
And we'll get to meet Don Fulton.
That's the rumor.
All right. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Until next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.